Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Coming up later on in the show, a review of the new drama All Good Things, starring Ryan Gosling and Kirsten Dunst. But right now, on the musical portion of the program, we're going to be jumping into the patented Sounds and Sights of Cinema time machine once again, and traveling back to the year 1971, featuring a variety of film music selections from that year. And we're going to kick things off with a selection from one of the most acclaimed and popular movies of 1971, The French Connection, with a score by composer Don Ellis. Take a listen.
Thank you.
That's music by composer Don Ellis, written for the film The French Connection. Strangely memorable atonal stuff there from Don Ellis and Spots. Next up, another gritty crime score, this one from composer Lalo Schifrin, written for the iconic Clint Eastwood film Dirty Harry. Take a listen.
Thank you.
That's music by composer Lalo Schifrin, written for the film Dirty Harry. While we're on the subject of crime movies made in 1971, let's do another one. This is music written for the film Get Carter, starring Michael Caine. It's composed by Roy Budd. We're going to feature a score selection from that movie and also feature a song written by Budd called Living Should Be That Way. Let's take a listen.
Love it to be that way.
That's music by composer Roy Budd, written for the crime thriller Get Carter. Next up, let's move along to the 1971 western Big Jake, one of John Wayne's later westerns, which featured a score, as many late Wayne westerns did, by Elmer Bernstein. Take a listen.
Thank you.
Good stuff from composer Elmer Bernstein, written for the movie Big Jake. Next up, let's do music from another Western, this one a much quirkier, less traditional sort of Western, a film directed by Sergio Leone, entitled A Fistful of Dynamite. It also went by the title Duck You Sucker in some areas, and featured a score, of course, by Ennio Morricone. Let's take a listen.
Show.
You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're featuring music from the year 1971 on the program today. Next up, we offer a fairly dark selection from composer Jerry Fielding, written for one of the darkest films director Sam Peckinpah made, Straw Dogs, an unnerving movie starring Dustin Hoffman. Let's take a listen to some of Fielding's appropriately unsettling work.
Thank you.
That's music from Straw Dogs, written by Jerry Fielding. Okay, on to something a little more tuneful. A movie from 1971 that's sort of long forgotten about, a satire entitled Cold Turkey, starring Dick Van Dyke. It featured one of Randy Newman's earliest film scores. Let's take a listen.
He gives us all his love. He gives us all his love. He's smiling down on us from up above. He's giving us all his love. He knows how hard we're trying. He hears the babies cry. He sees the old folks dying. And he gives us all his love. He gives us all his love. He gives us all his love. He's smiling down on us from up above, and he's giving us all his love. Now if you need someone to talk to, you can always talk to him. And if you need someone to lean, you can lean on him. He gives us all his love. He gives us all his love. He's smiling down on us from up above, and he's giving us all his love.
Music by composer Randy Newman, written for the film Cold Turkey. That song that you just heard there, He Gives Us All His Love, was later heard on one of Randy Newman's albums, but it was written for that movie, and because the movie was sort of ignored and forgotten about, the song didn't really go anywhere for a while. Next up, we're going to feature this selection from Ron Grainer, written for the Charlton Heston thriller The Omega Man. And that's music from composer Ron Grainer, written for The Omega Man. Last, but most assuredly not least on the musical side of things, we offer a selection from composer John Barry, written for the 1971 James Bond movie, Diamonds Are Forever. Thank you. music from composer John Barry, written for the James Bond film Diamonds Are Forever. Next up, time for our movie review for this week's program of the new film All Good Things. Director Andrew Jarecki made a strong impression in 2003 with his Oscar-nominated documentary Capturing the Freedmans. The director now makes the transition from documentaries to regular features with All Good Things, a dramatized story based on true events. David Marks, played by Ryan Gosling, is a frustrated young man living in the shadow of his overbearing father Sanford, played by Frank Langella. Sanford wants David to be a part of the family business, but David wants to be his own man. One day, David meets a rather lovely young woman named Katie McCarthy, played by Kirsten Dunst. The two hit it off quickly, and David impulsively asks Katie to marry him. She says yes. They run away together and open a small antique shop. It's a simple life, but a happy one. Then things start to change. Sanford persuades David to move back to the city and take a job with a family business. David's mood turns sour, and he grows distant from Katie. When she becomes pregnant, he demands that she get an abortion. Eventually, he begins to engage in abusive behavior. As David continues to sink into a personal abyss, Katie sadly wonders what happened to the liberated young man she once married. The story of Robert Durst and his wife Kathleen McCormick has been well documented and is one of the more notorious murder cases in New York history. However, on the chance you may not be familiar with the case, I'll avoid providing specifics in this review. Suffice it to say that it's a sordid tale of murder that spans several decades. The details of what happened and who killed who remain hazy to this day. Aside from simply changing the names of the primary characters, All Good Things offers a remarkably faithful recreation of real-life events, in addition to providing a bit of dramatic speculation on how things really went down. In the manner the film painstakingly recreates a parade of events that occurred between 1971 and 2003, it very much resembles David Fincher's superb Zodiac. However, Zodiac used a real-life crime story as the springboard for a study of obsession, while All Good Things is merely fuel for our own obsessions with such stories. That's okay, as All Good Things is a good film in its own right, and occasionally offers some compelling ideas beyond the basic question of who done it and how. The film is one which asks its performers to evolve a great deal over the course of its running time. Thankfully, Gosling and Dunst are up to the task. Gosling begins his performance as a quiet, reserved, but reasonably nice guy, and slowly becomes increasingly introverted from there. By the film's halfway point, David has become so emotionally stunted that his attempts at communication inevitably morph into unfiltered rage. He is so filled with self-loathing that he eventually starts cross-dressing, not because he has any sexual identity issues, but simply because it permits him to temporarily escape his own miserable identity. Dunst begins her performance as the sort of Kirsten Dunst character we've seen before, cheerful, extroverted, and eager to make friends. It's emotionally crushing to see the way Dunst presents this character and then slowly drains the life from her. There's one shot in particular that I found absolutely haunting. Katie has just had an abortion, and her friend Lauren, played by Kristen Wiig, attempts to cheer her up with a line of cocaine. Katie sits in a nightclub, stoned out of her mind, robotically nodding her head to the rhythms of the disco music, smoking a cigarette and drinking whiskey. In that moment, she is the personification of a woman who has lost all hope of finding any kind of happiness. It's a heartbreaking performance and one of the best roles Dunst has had to date. Despite David's horrific behavior, we can't help but feel that he's more a victim than a villain. This is largely due to Langella's quietly suffocating performance as Sanford, a man who has brainwashed his son with the idea that money is the only path to peace in life. He sniffs at the happy couple's idyllic existence at the antique shop. "You think she's happy here?" he scoffs. "You think this is what she really wants?" A turbulent scene in which Langella and Gosling recall a dark moment in the Marks family history comes very close to being brilliant. It's kept from greatness by a line at the end that spells out everything the scene had so beautifully implied. That's the sort of thing that ultimately keeps the film from greatness, too. It's a little too eager to fill in all the blanks, a little too insistent on providing neat explanations for everything that happens. The uncertainty of what happened is a large part of what makes the real-life case so unsettling, and the film is more effective when it permits an element of mystery to linger. For instance, there's a terrific shot in which one character opens the trunk of a car. We never see the contents, only the ambiguous expression on the character's face. Still, All Good Things is a worthy drama that draws out strong performances from its cast, including an uncharacteristically frenzied Philip Baker Hall, and it demonstrates that Jarecki is no one-hit wonder. At the very least, it offers a handful of striking moments which are quite difficult to shake. I give it a rating of 3 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. In the meantime, we close out by going back to 1971 once again, and this selection from David Bowie. Have a great week, everyone. Back at you later.
It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair. But her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go. But her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a sad thing for she's lived it 10 times or more. She could spit in the eyes of fools if they ask her to focus on. Take a look at the old man, beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if you'll ever know who's in the best-selling show. Is there life on Mars? On America's tortured brow that Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow. And now the workers have struck for fame, 'cause Lennon's on sale again. See the mice in their million hordes, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Rule Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog and clowns. But the film is a sad thing for, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be written again as I ask you to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's a freaky show. Take a look at the old man, beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if he'll ever know who's in the best-selling show. Is there life on Mars?